Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam this morning, Canto 2, Chapter 7, which is called Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions. So we're beginning with text 23. These are three verses here, in which we get the Ramayana in three verses. because today is the appearance of Lord Ramchandra, a glorious day. So we'll read about something about Ramchandra. And in these verses also there's a little purport that Prabhupada gives, which is the essential meaning of the Ramayana, which are those. How many people in India hear the Ramayana? You know, Valmiki Ramayana, or usually this Tulsi Das Ramayana, Ram Manasa Charita, that we call it. They're one in something like Hindi.
Yeah.
Is in Hindi, yeah, Hindi. Yeah. They hear this, and everybody knows the story in India. They don't know the meaning of the Ramayana. So here, so that's 23, 24, yeah, 25. But here we have 23 on the board, okay? Asmat. Prasada Sumukha Kalaya Kalesha Ikshvaku Vamsha Avatirya Guru Nideshe Tishtan Vanam Sadaitanuja Avivesha Yasmin Virudhya Dasha Kandhara Artim Archat Asmat Prasada Sumukha Kalaya Kalesha Ikshvaku Vamsha Avatirya Gurur Nideshe Tishtanvanam Sadaita Nuja Avivesha Yasmin Virujya Dashakandara Artim Archat Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha Ikshvaku vamsha avatirya gurur nideshe Tishtanvanam sadaitanuja avivesha Yasmin virujya dashakandara atim archat Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha Ikshvaku vamsha avatirya gurur nideshe Tishtanvanam sadaita nuja avivesha Yasmin virudhya dasakandara atimachat Asma prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha
Ishtanvanam sadaitanuja avivesha
jasmin virudha vasyo kartana kartara atti achara
jasmin virudya dashakandar karti marchat
asmat prasada sumukha
kulaya kalesha ishvaku vamsha avatirya garur nideshe tishtanvanam sadaita anuja vivesha yasmin virujya dasakandara atimachat asmat prasada sumukha kulaya kalesha ikshvaku vamsha avatirya gaurar nideshe Yasmin virujya dasakandara atimarchat asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha ikshvaku vamsha avatirya garur nideshe tishtanvanam sadaita anuja avivesha yasmin virujya dasakandara atimachat asmat unto us beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant. That means every living entity in the Brahmanda, in the world, us. That's who us is. Prasada, causeless mercy. Sumukaha, so inclined. Kalaya, with his plenary extensions. Kaleshaha, the Lord of all potencies. Ikshvaku, Maharaj Ikshvaku, in the dynasty of the sun. Vamshe, family, Avatirya, by descending in. Guroho, of the father, or spiritual master. Nideshe, under the order of. Tishtan, being situated in. Vanam, in the forest. Sadaita Anuja, along with his wife and younger brother. Avivesha, entered. Yasmin, unto whom? Virudya, being rebellious. Dashakandaraha, Ravana, who had 10 heads. Artim, great distress. Archat, achieve. Translation. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency, Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasarath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother, Ravana, who was very materially powerful, with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him, and was thus ultimately vanquished. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his brothers, namely Bharata, Lakshmana, and Shatrughna, are his plenary expansions. All four brothers are Vishnu Tattva, and were never ordinary human beings. There are many unscrupulous and ignorant commentators on Ramayana who present the younger brothers of Lord Ramchandra as ordinary living entities, but here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authentic scripture on the science of Godhead, it is clearly stated that his brothers were his plenary expansions. That word is there. Kalaya. Kala. It means expansion. Kala Amsha. Akala. Originally, Lord Ramchandra is the incarnation of Vasudev. Lakshmana is the incarnation of Shankarshana. Bharata is the incarnation of Pradyumna. And Shatrughna is the incarnation of Aniruddha, expansions of the personality of Godhead. Lakshmiji, the Sita, is the internal potency of the Lord and is neither an ordinary woman nor the external potency incarnation of Durga. Durga is the external potency of the Lord, and she is associated with Shiva, with Lord Shiva. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, the Lord appears when there are discrepancies in the discharge of factual religion. Lord Ramchandra also appeared under the same circumstances, accompanied by his brothers, who are expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and by Lakshmiji, Sita Devi. Lord Ramchandra was ordered by his father, Maharaj Dasarath, to leave home for the forest under awkward circumstances. And the Lord, as the ideal son of his father, carried out the order even on the occasion of his being declared the king of Ayodhya. One of his younger brothers, Lakshmanaji, desired to go with him, and so also his eternal wife, Sitaji, desired to go with him. The Lord agreed to both of them, and altogether they entered the Dandakaranya forest to live there for 14 years. During their stay in the forest, there was some quarrel between Ramchandra and Ravana, and the latter kidnapped the Lord's wife, Sita. The quarrel ended in the vanquishing of the greatly powerful Ravana, along with all his kingdom and family. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune. But she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being, along with her husband, Sri Ramchandra. A materialistic man, like Ravana, does not understand this great truth. But, on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram, and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravana. Ravana was very advanced materially, So much so that he turned his kingdom, Lanka, into pure gold, or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramchandra and defied him by stealing his wife, Sita, Ravana was killed and all his opulence and power destroyed. Lord Ramchandra is a full incarnation with six opulences in full, and he is therefore mentioned in this verse as Kalesha, or the master of all opulences. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravari Pacharati Ivishesha Sunyavari Paschachade Satarani Uma Gyanam Timarandasya Gananjana Shivataya Saksurun Miritum Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyaschakritasindubhyebhajapatitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So first thing Prabhupada wants to mention is that when Lord Ram appeared, the three brothers, Bharata, Lakshman, Shatrughna, so he says all four are Vishnu Tattva. We understand that three tattvas. Tattva means principle here, fundamental principle. Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva, Jiva Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means the category of God. Now Vishnu Tattva is actually one. Nitya Nityanam, Chetanas Chetananam, Eko Bahunam Yavridatti Kama. There two categories of eternal nitya and chaitanya conscious entities. Nitya means singular, it's singular. There's one nitya and many nityas. Nityanam, chaitana, chaitananam. So eko bahunam, one and many. So everyone says God is one. So this is one. So the category of the one. They say that besides which there is no other. There's only one. But when the jivas are many, they're the many. We're eternal, but there are many of us. We have equals. All equal to each other on the spiritual platform. All the same. Although now some may be, you know, embodied as a tree, and some may be embodied as human beings, and some may be devotees, and some may be drug addicts, or whatever. There are so many differences, but actually the soul is the same. As far as the one is independent, and the many are dependent, because eka bahunam yo viridatti kama is the one who's supplying everything for the many. The difference. So the Vishnu Tattva means one, but still he expands himself into many forms. Although he is one, because he has many relationships with many devotees, he can appear simultaneously in different forms. But these forms are all one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's difficult to understand for us, but you may accept it on the on the authority of the Vedas and the revealed scriptures. And so this is the one Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all of these four, Lord Ram and his brothers, they're all Vishnu Tattva. Although Ramchandra is considered to be the first. As mentioned here, actually, how the Vishnu Tattvas expand is given in the scripture. That first of all, there's Krishna, who's Bhagavan Swayam, according to Bhagavatam, Ete Chamsakala Pumsam Krishnas Tu Bhagavan Swayam. There are many expansions of expansions, but the Bhagavan Swayam is Krishna. then his first expansion is Balaram. And then Balaram expands, it's called Mahashankarshan. Then there's a fourfold expansion. This is called Chatur Vyuha. Chatur means four. Manifestation of four. And that Chatur Vyuha, this is in the spiritual world, this is called Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, and Prajuna. This is Chatur Vyuha. So this Chatur Vyuha, this is what came down. Vasudev, Ramchandra, Vasudev. That Prabhupada has mentioned this. So all of them are personality of Godhead, they're not Jiva. And then with Sita. Sita is his internal potency, not external potency. So it's because the Lord expands also, this is called Shakti Tattva, the Lord's potencies, his energies. So these are these potencies, just as the Lord is Purusha, which also means male, Shakti is Prakriti, which means female. Actually, the Jivas are another kind of Prakriti. They're different kinds of Prakriti. But here we're talking about Shakti Tattva. They're not Jiva, but they're not Vishnu either. This is his personal potency. So, also where the Lord is manifest, also his personal potency is manifest. Therefore, we have Radha Krishna. She's specifically internal pleasure potency, and just as all the other Vishnu forms are expansions of Krishna, so the other Shakti Tattva forms, there are expansions of Radharani manifested on different occasions. So that we have Radha Krishna, and then we have Lakshmi Narayana and Vaikuntha. Lakshmi Narayana. Just as Narayana is expansion of Krishna, so Lakshmi is expansion of Radharani. Lakshmi particularly because as the internal potency of Radharani means her opulence, her specific virtue is love of God. That's what she gives as Krishna prema. That is her, all her ornaments Lakshmi, because he's associated with Lakshmi in Vaikuntha, she displays, she manifests from her energy the Lord's greatness, his Aishwarya. When he's with Radharani, then his Madhurya, his sweetness is manifest. But when he's with Lakshmi, his opulence is manifest, his Aishwarya. So then when he descends, also as Ramchandra, therefore Sita is there, she's also Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi. So that's the expansion. Not to be considered. Now, when you see Durga, Durga is no longer the internal potency. Antaranga Shakti. She's Bahiranga Shakti. She's external potency. That means that because she's the material energy, she's at some distance from Krishna. Radha and Krishna are together, Sita Ram are together, Lakshmi Narayana are together. But you never see, Krishna and Durga, or Narayana and Durga. Why? Because he never associates intimately with the material potency. But when he does, then he's called Shiva. He doesn't, but when actually there's some because he's his potency, there's some contact. So that is, then he's manifested as Lord Shiva.
You're saying all the females are Shakti?
Huh?
All the females
Yeah. All females are Shakti Tattva. Actually, all jivas in a sense are also Shakti, in a way. But the jivas in Shankya is called Purusha because it tries to act like the enjoyer. But actually, jivas ultimately. But females are called Shakti Tattva. And Lord Shiva, although he is actually not a jiva, still he does not act like he's not the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of that association with the Durga. So he has his sort of own tattva. He cannot be worshipped independently as the Lord. So anyway, that's who Lord Ramachandra comes. So see, Prabhupada now wants to hear this last paragraph. He gives the meaning of the Ramayana. That Sita is Lakshmi. That means also the goddess of fortune. Now people also worship her independently of Krishna in the material world. Their temples, just Lakshmi. You don't see Narayan anywhere. It's just Lakshmi by herself. And also we've seen the posters, Lakshmi Devi by herself. And they're praying to her for wealth. They want the material benediction from her. So here she's not like, here she kind of is not really representing the internal potency, because where's the Lord? Not visible. So they worship her that way. But in that form, she's known as Chanchala. She does not stay anywhere. Everybody knows, if you want to be successful in this world, you need what we call in the West, good luck. And they also say, they also call her Lady Luck. Gambler's worshipper. They don't know who she is, but they worship Lady Luck. But even, because everything in the material world, you want to make money, always there's some aspect of risk. You put some investment. You don't know whether it works, whether it comes back. Sometimes you're careful, sometimes you're careless. But there's always some. So everybody, the materialist, they want her. These are materialistic people, they want her benediction. Because she's goddess of fortune, means all opulence. So Prabhupada has taught us, and his disciples, anytime there's money, dollar bills or rupees or euros or whatever it may be, we call that Lakshmi. Because we understand that this, who does Lakshmi belong to? She belongs to Narayan. This is to educate us in this fact. So he says, because Lakshmi is, Sita is Lakshmi, she's never to be enjoyed by any living being. When we say Krishna is the enjoyer, actually he's the only enjoyer. He's the only Purusha. Everyone else is Prakriti, to be enjoyed by Krishna. To be enjoyed by Krishna. One time in Philadelphia, we had a young girl who was initiated by Prabhupada. She was very, very beautiful. And Prabhupada gave her the name Mahabhoga. Everybody laughed. And Prabhupada said, smiling, says, "Your name means greatly to be enjoyed." And he paused. He said, "By Krishna." because Prabhupada has said that devotees actually are supposed to understand, like speaking of the men, all women belong to Krishna. All women belong to Krishna. Because there was one conversation between Prabhupada and an Indian gentleman from South India who was a Christian convert. And you know how they get converted by hearing Krishna blasphemed. So he said to Prabhupada, "How can you worship a god who is an adulterer?" And Prabhupada said, Krishna is not the adulterer. You are the adulterer. All women belong to Krishna. He said to him. So, that's one of the opulences, huh? Beautiful women, handsome men. Oh, these are all a part of good fortune, huh? You have beautiful bodily features, you have education, you have wealth, or you have... That's all treat. That's all sweet. These are all opulences. So people want this in the material world. But first of all, one should understand that actually she is meant for being worshipped by the living entity along with her husband, Sri Ramachandra. In other words, the devotees have to see that Lakshmi or Sita, she belongs to Krishna. And I must worship her together, that he is the enjoyer. This doesn't mean that ultimately you will be impoverished. No, actually you will have all opulence, spiritual and material, because where actually does Lakshmi reside? Where is Srivas? Right here, on the chest of the Lord. That's the residence. The only place she stays is on the chest of Lord Narayan. Her residence is there. That's where she stays. If you have the Lord, Lakshmi is there. All good fortune is there. But that means you have to serve the Lord. But the materialists do not want to serve Krishna. The basic materialistic attitude is, I want to be the Lord. Prabhupada describes that the original sinful desire of the living entity is to become the Lord. Original means that's why we're here in the material world. We want to be the enjoyer like God. In the spiritual world, God is the enjoyer. So Krishna says, okay, I have to give you a false world, not the real world, false world, where you can pretend to be the enjoyer. So we come to the material world, actually we all have a God project. The project of becoming God. Sometimes it's very open. Sometimes it's subtle, but it's going on. Because the people we call successful, they're open, they want to be the supreme. And ultimately, they break the laws too. Two ways they break the laws. You want to be the supreme, means you don't have to follow any law. You make whatever you do, nobody can do anything. So one way is to become a criminal. The other way is to become the government. Because the smartest criminals, they write the laws. So when organized crime becomes successful, it's called government. At least in Kali Yuga. Ramchandra represents actually real government. In India, one time there was a slogan, Swaraj is Ramraj, or Ramraj is Swaraj. Swaraj means independence. During the time, when they're independent, then it'll be Ramraj. That turned out not to be the case. Again, it was government of thieves. Because everywhere this is going on. Sometimes it's very, very open. Sometimes it's a little subtle, but basically. But these people, they're clear that they want to be the rulers, the enjoyers, the controllers. Like this. So this is the materialistic mentality. That she is meant to be worshipped along with her husband. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram. Thus he incurs great miseries. You suffer. He dies, ultimately. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravana.
Oh, we see this is the way things are going, where everybody is we are just the enjoyer. But devotional service means that we engage everything in Krishna's service. He is the enjoyer. That's our way of also becoming happy. We also want to be happy. We also want to be the enjoyer. But we have to understand that our way of enjoying as Jiva Tattva is to see that Krishna is enjoying. And then we'll also be satisfied, because just as you pour water on the root of the tree and the branches and the leaves, they're also nourished. So similarly, when we see, just dedicate ourselves to seeing that the Lord is satisfied, then our satisfaction automatically included. The more we forget about our own satisfaction and think about Krishna, the more satisfied we'll become. The more we put ourselves in Krishna's place and think of ourselves, actually the more miserable we become. This is the actual truth. So Ravana was very advanced materially. His intelligence was there. This 10 heads gave him great thinking power. This is not just a metaphor, by the way. How does somebody have 10 heads? We don't see it. Well, he had gotten some power from Lord Shiva, and he had 10 heads. How do you have 10 heads? How do you fix 10 heads under one pair of shoulders? It can be done. You don't have to know how. It can be done. This is technology we no longer have today. But in mathematics, you can have more than three dimensions. Now the space we live in has three dimensions. Up and down, sideways, this way, three dimensions. But mathematicians discovered that, you know, by formulas, you can represent these three dimensions. Algebra. You can represent these three dimensions all in with formulas and figures in these three-dimensional figures. You make graph and you put, you know, X, Y, and Z axis. And then they discovered you could have A axis, B axis, C axis, many more dimensions. And everything worked. So you could have four-dimensional figures and five-dimensional figures and six. All the mathematics, no contradiction is there. Everything works. So you can't make those figures in this world, but mathematically, everything is consistent. So the mathematicians understood, you know, from the 19th century at least, that you could have many more than three dimensions. And now, at least modern sciences, they go further. They also find they have to use, in order to explain what we see in three dimensions, they also have to posit four dimensions, five dimensions. Right now, the people who are on the cutting edge of quantum mechanics with what is called string theory, they're talking about 11 dimensions. You cannot visualize this, you know, but mathematics, it's all there. So how can Ravana have 10 heads? Why is he's not... How many dimensions are there? Bhaktisiddhanta says what he says, innumerable. Innumerable. So we should see that we're boxed in. Three dimensions is a box. And people like yogis and so on, they can operate outside this box. That's how they get the city. Some of the cities, they're outside this box, because prapti city means I can sit here, I can reach my hand out, and I can pick a flower from the garden in Mayapur, and I can bring it back and hand it to you. I have this prapti city. I can reach all the way to Mayapur and hand you this flower. I don't have that city. But If you have, and if a person that does it, how does he do it? Doesn't mean my hand, you know, goes like the jet, you know, all the way over the Atlantic. No. Somehow, that space and this space, they come together. Like, just makes very close by. So, anyway, this is, so if you believe that the cities are there, then why not 10 heads? More than 10. Banasura had how many arms?
1,000.
Huh?
1,000.
1,000 arms. How do you fit 1,000 arms onto... So people have doubts of Vishnu's four arms, and you know, but 1,000 arms for Banasura? Anyway, so this Ravana, he had these opulences because he was had benedictions, and his city was made of gold, that is better than New York. And also he was, because he didn't want to do sacrifice, because he wanted the supreme, he was trying to construct a method to get to the heavenly planets without sacrifice, like some kind of tower or ladder or something like that. Like we have with our spaceships, trying to get to heaven without. So far, it doesn't look so heavenly wherever it is we go. They haven't discovered the heavenly planets. Then they go there, but they can't get inside. They won't let them in. Just like. Sometimes people want to come to America. But they get caught by the immigration authorities. They may be here, but they go right. They go to some camp or jail or something, and they're sent back. So anyway, this is Ravana. He was materially advanced, but he did not recognize the supremacy of Ramchandra. He wanted to take Sita. This is the material, this mentality. Here is Sita. She is the wife of the Lord, his internal potency. I want to take her and enjoy her for myself. I am thinking, if I am the enjoyer of Sita, I'm God. This is actually the mentality. This is the mentality. So, but what was the result? Ravana was killed. Now, I first heard this understanding from a tape from Prabhupada. I think it was before this was this night. This was there. But it made it very clear when Prabhupada was giving an initiation to somebody, actually in Oregon, and he named a devotee. Was some name of Hanuman. It wasn't Hanuman, but one of those names of Hanuman. And then he said at the initiation, so you're a servant of Hanuman. And he says, so this means, what is Hanuman's service? Hanuman's service, he goes and he takes Sita away from Ravana and puts her again at the side of Lord Ramchandra. That's the devotee. This is what the devotee does. If the materialist or the demon wants to take Sita away from Ramchandra and enjoy her for himself, the devotee's job is again to take Sita, take Lakshmi from the materialist, and again place her at the side of Lord Ramchandra, Lord Narayan. That's the devotee's job, he said. And then he said to this devotee, so you can go to the materialistic people and just ask them nicely, please give your money to Krishna. And you can tell them, if you do not, you will be killed. He's being a little funny, but that's a very true thing, because as Prabhupada said in another place, death is an illusion we have imposed upon ourselves due to our desire to enjoy in the world. Actually, that is the fact. This is also in the Skanda Purana, the story is told that actually when Ravana took Sita, he did not get the real Sita. He got Maya Sita. False Sita. In reality, you cannot take. When you try to take the opulences from Krishna, you think I become like God. You think now I am the enjoyer. But what do you have? You don't have real opulence. You have what looks like opulence, but actually you can't hold on to it. If you say something is mine, show me that you can keep it. How do you keep it? Well, I put it in a safe. I have my security. I have my deeds. I have my power. I have so much protection to keep what I have. But you have all these forts. You have all these walls. You have all this protection. But somehow death will come through like a little pin and bore through all your walls and goodbye. What's your defense? So all these people, Stalin, Hitler, you know, they had so much defense. Death came and got them all. Where are they? Where are they all? The big enjoyers and controllers in the past. We read about them still. Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, this king, that king, Alexander the Great. Where are they? Where is their opulence? Do they have Sita? No. They only had... So this is the lesson. You will be killed. You will be killed. We're not threatening. It will happen. That's why Prabhupada says that everybody meets Krishna and surrenders to Krishna, but the materialists meet him and surrender to Krishna in the form of death. That's when they have to surrender. So this will happen. So in fact, he did get Maya Sita. He didn't really get, and he simply died. So that's the story. He took Maya Sita, and then when she came back, there was some doubt about her. Was she still pure? Basically, his kidnapping was supposed to be rape. Did that happen, or was she still pure? And so she passed the test. She was entered into fire. If she was pure, the fire would not burn her. I guess this used to work in the old times, trial by ordeal. It's not now. And she went into the fire, and Agni herself carried her out. But so the story is that the Maya Sita went into the fire, and the real Sita came out. That's the story. So anyway, this is the meaning of the Ramayana. And so many people don't understand this. They sit all day long on a day like today. They'll hear the whole Tulsi Ramayana, but the basic thing they don't understand. Sometimes people are very educated. They know the scripture. I know people that can chant the whole Ramayana, but they don't understand. So sometimes people are very educated, very learned, but there are people like that who know the Vedas, who know the Shastra. They're very learned in the Shastra, but yet they have no devotion to the Lord. They're compared to like a very nice ornamental silver or gold serving spoon that hands out the nectar of the Vedas, but can't taste it. No idea. It's like that. So when you hear from Prabhupada, somebody's actually a devotee, then you actually understand.
what is being said. Let me read the other verses here. It's two more verses talking about this. Next 24. They're beautiful verses. Yasma adad udarai udhab bayangavepo margam sapadjaripuram harivadhidaksho dure surin matitarosha suro shushona dustya tapyamana makaro raganakra chakraha. The personality of Godhead Ramchandra, being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy Ravana with red-hot eyes like those of Hara, means Lord Shiva, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way, because its family members, the aquatics like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry, red-hot eyes of the Lord. Then the next verse. Vakshastala sparsharugna mahindravaha dantair vidambita kakubjusha udhahasam sadyo subhi saha vineshyati dhara hartur vispur jitar danusha uccharato dishainye. When Ravana was engaged in battle, the trunk of the elephant, which carried the king of heaven Indra, this Airavata, broke into pieces, having collided with the chest of Ravana, and the scattered, broken parts illuminated all directions. Ravana therefore felt proud of his prowess and began to loiter in the midst of the fighting soldiers, thinking himself the conqueror of all directions. But his laughter, overtaken by joy, along with his very air of life, suddenly ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Ramchandra, the personality of Godhead. That's a great verse. Shook! The tingling sound of the bow, huh? Uspritsurjita. So that's the story there, where he finally was. Anyway, there are many, of course, there's so many episodes. Such a heartbreaking story, actually. It's a real tragedy. But it's in some ways, this story is in deep in the hearts of everyone. because many elements of this story show up again and again in different places. When the Star Wars movie first came out, some devotees went to see it, and they said, "It's the Ramayana, it's the Ramayana." You know, because this guy has this, like a monkey, it's this Wookiee or whatever. And there's something just about a story like that, that's big cosmic battle, good and evil, and kidnap princesses, and all these kinds of things, and working together with strange creatures. What do they call the monkeys? Varna? No, Varna. What are they? The Sanskrit, anyway. The Hanuman and his friends. So anyway, this story is actually George Lucas, when he made this movie, actually he studied things like the Ramayana, and some professor had collected the stories and so used it as his inspiration. Everybody wants to hear the Ramayana. It's such a great story. Any questions? Yeah.
We are chanting the name of Ramchandra. So the
Ramchandra is the same Ramchandra or Balaram?
Well, Prabhupada said there was a controversy in India that people accused us when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. When we say Ram, we mean Balaram. So Prabhupada put in a purport, he addressed himself, and he said, actually there's three Rams. There's also Parashuram, Rama with an axe. Parashuram, Ramchandra, Balaram, all three are called, also three are called Ram. And Prabhupada said, because they're all Vishnu Tattva, there's no difference. Basically, he said, there's no difference. So he's saying, it doesn't matter what Ram you mean, is still the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. But of course, we also hear from Bhishma Chakravarti and so on, when you say Hari Ram, that Ram means Radhika Ramana. It means Krishna. Because people who are like situated in their conjugal rasa, they only think of Radha and Krishna. So for them, this becomes Hare Krishna means Radhika Ramana, that Ram, who's the enjoyer of Radha. That's also there. Because, yeah, Prabhupada talks about talking. So you, anything you like, and you can also mean, just like the word Hare, it's evocative, you're calling. And Prabhupada tells us this is the vocative of Hara. So we are meaning Radharani or internal potency, Sita, any internal potency is Hara, but also is the vocative of Hari. So it's Hari also. So you can also mean Hari. So you can see that sometimes, depending on what your, like for example, sometimes devotees pray to Lord Nrisingadev. They pray to, why do we pray to Lord Nrisingadev? Please destroy my Hiranyakashipu like material desires. By here Nrisinga, Hridaye Nrisinga, please appear in my heart and destroy Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is Karmashayan personified. Karmashayan means our desires to enjoy in this world. And he's like Ravana, same type. Wants enemy of Krishna, wants to be the supreme, and Krishna kills him as Nrisingadev. So many we see that we have in our temple in Mayapur, we have Nrisingadev there. But Nrisingadev is always in Mayapur, Nrisingapali. So why are we worshipping Nrisingadev? To help us attain Radha and Krishna. Right? That's why we worship Nrisingadev. Bhakti Vigna Vinash destroys our anarthas, obstacles of devotional service. So this is, we worship him. So you, when you can say, you say Hare Krishna, you can also Hare Rama, you can also say Hare is not a Hari. That's your immediate concern. And you can chant one mantra that way, another mantra Radha Krishna, another mantra, you can do like that. It's one God. In any case. Yeah?
And Ram Lakshman Sita, so what is the connection between Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra?
No, here they're because one time they have this vesha where they dress up like Ram. But Subhadra is She's not like Radharani. She's different internal potency. Because she's like the Lord's sister. So she's different potency. She's Yogamaya. So Yogamaya, in this world, you can worship her to the materialists worship Yogamaya as Durga. That's what they do. Because when she appears, said, these will be your names. And so all those names that she's worshipped in different places in India are all there, all names Durga. But actually she's Yogamaya. So for the devotee she's different. We see her together with Krishna. But she's like a sister, not a wife, huh? Actually, she marries Arjuna. So she's different internal potency, different potency. Internal potency, but, you know, on the borderline, because she also acts as external potency for the materialist. Although I hear that when I've heard that when devotees who worship the Sringadev in Nilachala, in Jagannath Puri, when they say in the Hare Krishna mantra that this Hare is Subhadra. I heard they say like that. They believe like that. I don't know. But actually for Gaudiya Vaishnava, she's Radharani. No, you're still not satisfied, huh?
I'm just a little bit confused. That was clear. But in Jagannath is Krishna.
Yeah.
And also, if you take incarnation of Lord Ramachandra.
Yeah, but why not? Because he's...
Balaram is
Lakshman? He's Lakshman, yeah.
Satyayug?
What? There's so many others, but he's asking about the internal potency. If she shows up in the Jagannath Baladev. Jagannath Baladev is Dwapada. Jagannath is simply Krishna. It's not another form of it's Krishna, but particularly he represents Krishna in Dwarka. And the only reason he looks a little different is, well, two stories. He's not finished. That he was being carved by Vishwakarma, and then the king looked, and then so unfinished. But the other story is that actually that the internal story is that one time in Dwarka, Krishna was hearing. Somebody was narrating. Rohini was narrating Braj Leela to people who were asking about what happened. You know, we heard that when Krishna was in Braj, so many special things were happening, wonderful things. Can you tell us about it? So Rohini was telling. this. And Krishna, in the room next door or in the hallway, he heard this. And when he heard it, he began to manifest all symptoms of ecstasy. You know the story? And then, you know, his eyes got big and his arms went into his, you know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it says, sometimes his body became round like a pumpkin, and then and his arms were withdrawn with big eyes. And so then he's listening in ecstasy because he's to his Vrindavan Leela. And so then Balaram came, and he saw his brother like this, his younger brother like this. He came to see, and then he also, and then Subhadra came, and then they were like that, the three of them. And then Narada Muni saw them like that, and he had this desire that somehow this form of Krishna in ecstasy in Dwarka, remembering Braj pastime, somehow this would be manifest. This is how they appear like this. So for at least for us understanding our Gaudiya, this is Krishna in Dwarka, where he is full of opulence, but he's remembering, he's feeling separation from Prajalita. So in a way, it's Krishna. Is Krishna also feeling strong feelings of separation? So it's not separated from, he's not separated from Vrindavan, even though he's in Dwarka. And of course, the Rath Yatra, Prabhupada describes, is the emotional process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he participated in Rath Yatra, that meaning of Rath Yatra was manifest by him, that it is, as Prabhupada said, the emotional process of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. Because Gundicha is Vrindavan. And so, you know, when he danced at Rath Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like Radharani trying to get Krishna to come back. He's saying, no, I can't come. I have business here. And so because that Rath Yatra, that's especially on the chariot, is Krishna at Kurukshetra. When again, there was a reunion. And again, Krishna met Radharani and the other inhabitants of Braj. As Prabhupada said, it's too tragic to tell. He described that meeting. Okay. So they're not like, so this is simply Krishna and Balaram Subhadra at Dwarka. But feeling separation from Vrindavan. And wanting to go back. Because Krishna is not happy, really. his real place is Vrindavan. Okay? We should stop now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.